The Burial Plot by Elizabeth McNeil, read by Olivia Vinnell. Prologue. Killing Moths. It was close to nightfall, and Bonnie was killing moths in the bedroom that had once belonged to Mr. Moncrief's dead wife. Mr. Moncrief detested the scent of cedar and camphor, and so the only way to be rid of them was by hand. Bonnie ground them against carpets and dressing tables, pulverized them against the rugs. It was a massacre, each insect obliterated in a small smear of white. When she opened the wardrobe, she saw that the moths had already eaten their way through the fur stoles. The foxbrush looked like it had been peppered with shot. It had been more than a year since Mrs. Moncrief had died, and still the room hadn't been touched. There, in the corner, was a browning globe on a stand which creaked when Bonnie put her hand to it, and on the dressing table was a lace collar, unwashed and yellowing with age. Bonnie paused, palms smarting, and placed the collar against her throat as she had done each time she had stepped into this room. She regarded herself carefully. But today she felt absurd. Such a fine garment layered on top of her linen maid's apron, like dressing a pig in a cravat. She dropped the collar hastily. The room seemed to hold its breath, as though Mrs. Moncrief was about to breeze in the door, as if she would snatch it back and slap her across the cheek. Bonnie shook her head. Mrs. Moncrief was gone. It must have been Mr. Moncrief's talk about the new cemetery that had dug its fingers into her, made her imagine ghosts. She stared out of the window at the vast stretch of distant pasture where the cemetery would be built. Soon that sloping, nettled land would sprout grand avenues, vaults, catacombs, a chapel in a Gothic style. A moth rose up before her, pale as a bride. Bonnie gritted her teeth and resumed her work, opening cupboards and drawers and clapping out the moths, grinding them under her heels. She lifted the lid of an old mahogany chest, smacked a few creatures that fluttered out. There, gone in an instant, turned to dust. She paused, looked closer. Bonnie already knew that there was nothing of worth in this chest, no necklaces or shell earrings. It was crammed with white silks in neat stacks. She should not linger. It was late, and she still had to bathe Sissy and fetch her a chocolate, then warm Mr. Moncrief's sheets with a pan filled with hot coals. But what were a few seconds? She reached towards the stack of fabric, shook one out. It was a nightgown. She thought of the yellowed rag that she wore to bed, darned and patched, sweat stains circling the armpits, rusty streaks where her menses had caught her unaware. She held this dress to the light. It was cold, as fresh and bright as new china. Frilling at the collar, tightly drawn sleeves, a big fat ribbon around the waist. Who could resist such a thing? It was the decision of an instant. She balled the nightgown into a bundle, slammed shut the chest, half ran into the hallway. Annette would be in the kitchen, slicing tomorrow's bacon, old Manton by the fire, blacking Mr. Moncrief's boots. A stag eyed her from the wall, marbles glinting in its sockets, antlers shadowed. She dithered for a moment, then raced down the hallway, up the servant's stairs, to where her little room crouched in the eaves. She closed the door, unfurled the dress. There it was, clutched in her red, work-sore hands. Had Mrs. Moncrief, Josephine, worn this as she waited in bed for her husband each night? And as Josephine lay there, did she think about how everything outside the window, the woodland with its ice house and greenhouse, the copses where foxes sheltered, the jetty leaning into the Thames, was all hers? Bonnie sat in her attic bedroom as the sun lowered, teasing the silk between her cracked fingers. She pulled it so tight that a thread snagged. She cursed, and then she laughed. It was her dress now, wasn't it? And couldn't she do what she wanted? It was nobody's but hers. She could trample through the mud in it if she chose, torture it in the fire, and nobody would know.